Hello, and welcome to Talk Steam to Me, a podcast by Spirax Zarco. We are the world's leaders in steam technology, offering the industry's most extensive range of products and services across a variety of industries. We create solutions that set the benchmark for steam-using organizations worldwide, working with you to improve productivity, save energy, and reduce waste.
Thanks for listening today to episode 13 in our Talk Steam to Me podcast series. In this episode, Spirax Zarco steam experts Chris Rossi, Carl Williams, and Duncan Richards discuss energy savings, sustainability, and decarbonization, and how Spirax Zarco can help you achieve it. If you have any questions about the topics mentioned in this episode, or if you'd like to speak to your local steam expert, get in touch today via our website at spirexzarco.com/US.
Welcome back. My name is Chris Rossi, product manager for packages and solutions with Spirax Zarco USA. I'm back here again with Carl Williams and Duncan Richards from our steam business development group. Today, we're actually going to be talking about energy savings and sustainability. I think a couple different buzzwords that we hear everywhere, whether it's in the newspaper, whether it's in the media. I don't know about you gentlemen, but I tend to spend the first part of my day every day reading news headlines, trying to get kind of caught up on what's been happening in the day before. And one of the more common buzzwords that I read all the time is one is sustainability, and the other buzzword seems to be green technology. How does that apply to what we provide here as a service from Spirax?
It's an interesting question because we tend to think of sustainability and energy saving going hand in hand, and they don't necessarily. Energy saving is possibly the first thing we should look at, because by energy saving, we're the aim is to reduce the costs. Sustainability and sustainable solutions may cost you more to run. So they can be the same, but they can be very different. And it's important to understand that although we're going sustainable, that may cost us more monies. It'll reduce the energy, but it'll cost us more money. So moving from gas to electric, generally we pay more for electric than we do for gas. So it's important to understand that sustainable does not necessarily mean cheaper or less expensive. And reducing energy normally means reducing costs, reducing outlay. Sometimes they're together and sometimes they're not. The other thing about green technology and energy saving, this is something we've been doing for nearly 150 years. Steam is a sustainable resource. When it turns back into its liquid state, it's water. It's something that's reusable, and it's something that's been around for centuries, if not millennia. So steam is a reusable resource that we need to it's as relevant today as it was 150, 200, 300 years ago.
Some might say it's a natural technology.
It is completely natural. It's something that we use. It's water, steam, or it's solid state, it's ice. It's completely natural.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have to put some sort of boiler treatment chemicals in to make the efficiency, but fundamentally, if you had clean steam or pure steam, you could probably condense it and drink it. I wouldn't recommend it because of the chemicals there are, but it is that level that we aren't really, you know, the sustainability message in my mind is doing less harm to the environment, protecting what the world for future generations. And that, as Carl said, will have a premium. We've come up with solutions based around electricity rather than burning gases. There's some of them are available, some of them are still in development, but you know, they're quite exciting to talk about. But you really have to think about the overall energy balance and how best to utilize all the various heat sources within that are available. So quite often you will get, if you talk to a major FM, they will be looking at heat pumps, they will be looking at steam heating, they will be looking at solar, wind, all these renewable resources, trying to stop us from burning fossil fuels. I don't believe that in my lifetime we're going to get anywhere near stopping burning all the fossil fuels, because we can't, there's, look, in actuality, there's not enough copper in the ground to carry all the electricity that we're looking for. But everything we can do to help and to enable customers on that transition towards the net zero, and don't forget that all of our governments have signed us up to net zero commitments by, or what, when it was talked about originally, it was an awful long way away, but that's coming up very quickly. You know, as we get older, time seems to compress, and you know, from what Carl and I were talking about on the way over, you know, how are we as a company going to really enable our customers and help our customers to continue to do what we've been doing for all these years? And we're really just framing the messaging we've had the last 150 years in a slightly different way. So we're hitting those buzzwords, as you said, but we have been doing it, you know, in American terms. You know, I'm going to say this is not my first rodeo. You've been doing it for years.
So, yeah, I'm glad you brought up the net zero comment. I know that, you know, as an organization, Spirex is committed to being greenhouse or net greenhouse gas emissions by the year 2030. So we've got a very aggressive goal as an organization to, not only are we, you know, talking the talk, but in a sense, we're walking the walk, using another phraseology. So we have spoken recently in other podcasts about advancements in technologies around, whether it's within hospital spaces, whether it's with sterilization, whether it's with energy savings. As an organization, whether it's products, whether it's business practices, what has Spirex done to drive sustainability, not only within our own walls, but with our customers as well?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. One of the things that we've done recently is we've changed our boilers from gas-powered boilers to electric boilers. And we've done that without changing all of the infrastructure. We've maintained the complete infrastructure of the steam infrastructure. We've changed the tube bundles and put in electric tube bundles. So we're generating in a different way. So we're proving that you don't have to use gas. You can use electricity and still keep your same infrastructure. So you're not changing everything. Another thing we do is we've got a product that we're now generating steam from solar or wind power. So we're able to take that power and create a thermal energy store that we can release when we need it. So we're looking at new technologies all the time. There's several different products in development. But I'm really quite proud of what we've been able to done by using renewable technology to create steam.
You know, if you talk to anyone that's a thermal energy engineer, if you've got something thermal, you want to keep it thermal. You don't want to convert it into a different form of potential energy, because you get a conversion loss. So if you have a requirement for heat in the way of steam, keep it as steam until you need to use it, rather than, no. We all know use steam to drive a turbine, converts to electricity, but there's an energy transfer loss. And you know, we want to, I guess where I'm going with that is we want to make sure that we keep steam relevant these days, because it's still the best heating media. And as you said, you know, it is green in our terminology. If I go to Europe, it's blue, because they say blue is their version of sustainable I don't know whether you have Toyotas over here, but Toyota Blue Drive and Blue Efficiency Mercedes. Because it's just the terminologies around the world have changed a little bit, but we've been doing it for as long as we've been in existence. We're just now starting to push the envelope and try and find a way of generating and storing steam energy in a more ecologically friendly way. So using wind power or solar power. You know, all ultimately, if you go back far enough, all our energy comes from that big burning thing in the sky. So, you know, let's utilize that as much as we possibly can. And, you know, in certain geographies, the sun is out 12 hours a day, every day. Certain geographies, it disappears in winter. Unfortunately, most of the heating you want is in winter. So, you know, again, we're as engineers, as people that are trying to do the best for the planet, we're having to think of innovative ways that we can change and we can alter our energy requirements, our energy usages, and generate what we need for today without harming tomorrow.
And that's why, as a group, we've made some big purchases over the last 10 years. Some of the things Spirax Sarco Engineering Group have bought are companies like Chromalox, Volcanic, Durex Industries. These are all to help us understand how electricity can play a part in the steam infrastructure moving forward. And some of the visions we have for the future of working together are really quite exciting. Electricity is certain to feature in any 2050 model. As we move forward, electricity is going to play more and more of a part. And I'd like to think that Spirax have put themselves in a position that we can do this in-house more and more. We can help your customers with all of the thermal energy efficiencies that we need.
Yeah, and you were saying earlier, of course, Carl, this is sort of, it costs us an awful lot of money to electrify our steam generation plant. It wasn't just the cost of changing the tube bundle, but we had to pay for the local power company to lay 2 miles of cable. This is why I keep saying, you know, at the headlong charge towards electrification, we have to be careful because you do have to lay more copper into the ground. We had to take our electricity supply up it from a 2 megawatts to 12 megawatts. So we had to take that power from the UK's and from the NSA's substation 2 miles away. Because obviously they've got a lot more power than anyone else because they've got a billion computers. And they are probably the most energy inefficient building on the planet. We drive past it on our way to work, and you can see the coolers in a winter's day.
The steam plumes.
Steam plumes.
Yeah. So, and I'm glad you guys brought that up with some of the other focuses. So it's not just a matter of switching from natural gas to electricity, but there's a lot of other infrastructure changes that come along with some of these newer technologies. And one of the areas that Spirax has looked into, and I think we're starting to kind of get into the point where we really understand what a lot of those additional needs are, is it's not just a matter of we've got a way to electrify your system, or we've got a way to help you reduce the amount of carbon emissions that your facility produces, but we understand that it's a sustainability journey, that there are multiple stages throughout it. There is no one solution that fits every customer. You know, certain customers, they may be at the point where they're so inefficient that we need to start gathering data. And it's a matter of, we need to meter different facilities. We need to meter your steam, meter your water, understand where your inefficiencies are before you can even start to get on that journey. And some of the technologies that we've talked about today, that may be the kind of that ultimate, that final, or that last solution that gets them to their close to being at peak sustainability as they can, is that, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention the name of the product, but let's go ahead and just, we've got products that are in development that help with those with that sustainability journey.
And I know, and we said it costs more, but there are a lot of things you can do to improve your site sustainability, your energy efficiency. And if you look, you know, it's as I say, everyone walk the plant, optimize your system, make sure it's insulated, make sure it's working to the best of its ability. You haven't got failed traps, failed valves. Your control loops are where they should be because, you know, the loads do change in plants as they go through their life. And maybe the PID loop that was set when it was 20% capacity is not the same one that it should be when it's at 70% capacity, because you're wanting to squeeze every last BTU out of that steam and not waste any.
Please remember, a lot of these steam systems have been in place 30, 40, 50 years. You need, what I would recommend to most people, is do a thorough energy audit of your steam system. Understand where you've added pieces to, taken pieces away. There's dead legs in the system. Remove them and really optimize. First step is always optimization of what you've got.
Yeah, before we go and start, you know, changing the facility, you want to make sure that it's needed in the first place. I mean, they may have everything they need, it just, you know, may not be set up correctly. Or to your point, 30, 40, 50 years old, it may need a tune-up. You know, the same way that, you know, my car sitting outside in the parking lot, if it's 10 years old, 15 mm-hmm. years old, it may need that. Obviously, it needs regular oil changes, but at 100,000 miles, I need to replace, you know, the bearings on my wheels. Or whatever it may be, there's analogies that it fit into most industrial applications as well.
There aren't many systems in the world that are going to last 30, 40, 50 years. Steam is one of them.
Yeah, we've got systems that are way older than that. You know, it's the old argument of, do you maintain it? The better you maintain it, the longer it will last.
So another term that's thrown around frequently is decarbonization. But what a lot of people don't talk about is how steam can actually relate to decarbonization. From your perspective, how can you best explain how to decouple those two between steam and decarbonization?
You can have decarbonized solutions using steam. And a lot of people talk about steam being part of the problem, and it's really not. Steam is not the issue. It's how we generate steam that's the issue. And we need to look at generation more. Steam has been an important part of industry for over three centuries. It's still vital for sterilization, critical processes, and most of all, heat transfer. Steam production and distribution is a circular process. Put the steam out, we get condensate back in the form of water. We have one food and beverage company in the US install a condensate recovery system. That resulted in annual savings of £250,000. And then you can add in the savings in water, carbon reduction, and eliminating the need for a separate heat source for the feed water. Spirax Arco steam products sold in 2020 have saved 18.2 million tons of CO2 emissions. That's equivalent to 8.8 million new cars taken off the road. Or if you like it in trees, that's 828 million mature trees. But there's always more we can do. Steam accounts for 35 to 40% of industry's total energy usage. So addressing steam generation is fundamental to supporting industry on the pathway to decarbonisation. Existing technology, as well as innovative alternatives, will enable industry to keep its existing infrastructure and benefit from steam's outstanding properties.
Well, I'd like to thank both of my colleagues today for sharing their experience. you know, showcasing exactly what, you know, our organization strives for when it comes to sustainable practices, when it comes to product development, when it comes to, we're not just talking the talk, we are walking the walk. You know, we are taking the various different practices that we want to see our customers do. We're not just saying you should do it, but we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We are actively, you know, pursuing the same sustainable and energy saving paths that, you know, we're recommending for our customers. So if you do have any more questions about whether it's energy savings, whether it's sustainability, whether it's green tech, or whether it's just new technologies that Spirex is starting to look into, please reach out to your local thermal sales engineer, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this podcast and join us again soon. If you have any questions about the content covered in this podcast, please reach out to us or your local Spirex Sarco engineer at www.spirexsarco.com/US. Follow Spirex Sarco USA on LinkedIn and watch for future episodes coming online soon.